All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? It's an FBF Friday, and oh, that stands for football. As we had football last night, we've got football this weekend. We've got NFL on Sunday. Why not? Let's do this. Tyler, once again in for Quick Nick, who's in Vegas. Barry to my right.
What up?
I am here as well. The Usual Suspects on board for the next 3 hours, ready to entertain you and take you into your weekend before we turn it over to the Vegas boys, Fred, AJ, Jong, and, of course, Nick in Vegas. What's up, fellas?
Not a whole lot. What are you up to, my man?
It's Friday.
It is Friday. I am excited that tomorrow I get to sleep late. I'm just sleeping late. That's what I get excited about now. At 43 years old in my life, this is what I get excited about. And I sleep late every day to begin with.
Yeah, you do.
But I don't have any shows. There's no important games that I have to watch, Astros, I don't have to.
Ooh.
I'm going to sleep late. I'm going to try to set a modern-day record for me and sleep till noon. That's my goal.
That's solid.
Yeah.
So, Tyler, with those lofty expectations in the Laminack household, anything big for the weekend?
Same.
You're going to try to sleep till noon?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to try. It's a given, probably.
Are you a late sleeper?
Oh, yeah.
Now, is it because you stay up late?
Yes. And, I mean, my schedule does, obviously, I don't have to wake up early for anything. So, I normally sleep till
You don't have 10. A wife hovering over you and nagging you?
Or a kid.
Not at all.
Yeah, well, that's, you're totally screwed. I know you're not sleeping till noon.
No. Well, I get my normal basketball game at 9 in the morning on Saturday.
Oh, God. That's dumb.
No, it's great.
Why do you get up that early to go play basketball?
I look forward to it every week because it's fun.
It's your only way to get out of the house?
It helps there, too. I'm out for a good four and a half hours.
I figured out that's why I like doing the yard, too, because I would rather listen to the grinding, squealing noise of a weed eater than to be in the house listening to my wife be like, well, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? I'd rather just hear, it's very similar.
It's kind of the same, yeah.
It's very similar.
I mean, I used to be the soundest sleeper. Like
really?
When I was sleeping, I was out. And now Lisa can say babe like she's whispering in another room, and I will spring up from the pillow like I know something's up with either the dogs, the kid, something, and it freaks me out. Like last night, sound asleep, like I am out. And she does the babe. And I fly up. I'm like, what? She goes, one of the dogs went outside and chewed the head off one of the sprinklers, and now we've got a complete deluge of water like blursting up in the air. And I'm like, can you not just turn the
Stupid ass dog.
Out of bed, and I gotta go turn off the sprinklers, and I gotta go do all that. And she's like, okay, thanks. Sorry. Sorry does nothing for me at 2:30 AM because now I gotta try and go back to sleep.
Yeah, that sucks. Big
man.
Time.
You guys get to sleep. I mean, just the fact you can sleep when you want to sleep is a beautiful thing. You have to appreciate that.
Right. Well, I had a show last night, which, by the way.
Did you a favor?
I got, for the first time in my young comedy career, I had someone throw food at me.
Uh-oh.
Now, it wasn't during my set, because my set was okay. So no one got angry. But we do this, like I was telling you yesterday with the show. There's five comics on the show, and we all go up and do about a 10-minute set. And then afterwards, there's this panel, and we all sit on the panel, and we answer questions from the audience. Well, there's this couple that was sitting up front, apparently having a great time. They were hammered. And at one point during the panel, we're all just sitting there, and I'm not even talking at this point. And the drunk lady with big chichis, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Really big.
Skinny lady or big lady?
Skinny. Okay. Hispanic.
Okay.
Cute. You know what I mean? Got the nice, you know, hee-hees, chi-chis going thing.
Chi-chi,
All right. So she's sitting there, and she had just come back from the bar to get shots, and she was doing triple shots. She was getting shots in a rocks glass.
Wow.
And so I guess she got a lime with it, And as someone else on the panel is talking, she throws the lime at me. And I was like, what the hell was that? I have a mic in my hand. And I go, what the hell was that for? And her also equally drunk husband goes, ha, that's for wearing glasses. What? Like, that's, you're throwing.
Nerds.
Yeah, you're throwing food at me for seeing. For having the ability to see, you're throwing food at me. So it was right before the show ended. Otherwise, they would have been kicked out.
I was going to say, but how did you react?
Well, that's all I said. I said, "What? Why did you do that?" And he goes, "That's for wearing glasses." I was like, "That's it. Your wife threw a lime at me because I have the ability to see clearly. That's the big reason why you guys are over here chunking food." And he was like, "I don't know." I was like, "Just shut up." Like, sometimes you just gotta be mean and just be like, "Hey, just shut up." So
you're not normally mean, so that's
no way. So after the show, they come up to me and they're like, "You're hilarious." I was like, "Okay, you threw food at me. Get away from me. That's not cool. You don't do that." Right. And they're hammered, so I kind of get it. I mean, they don't know what they're doing at this point. And then they go and talk to Andy Huggins outside. And then apparently the drunk chick grabs a bottle of Crown off the bar and takes off running out of the improv. At which point, the manager, Joe, stops the husband, and the husband swings on Joe. Joe swings back. It was chaotic. I was just like, oh, my God. And this, there's another show, because we did our couples therapy show, and then after that was Doug Stanhope, who's a big name. You know what I mean?
Doug Stanhope was played last night?
Last night, 9 o'clock.
What the hell, I got dude?
Dude, I'm telling you, you screwed up. First of all, it was sold out.
You didn't mention.
Well,
you did
it's not my job to remind
that.
You. It's not my job to remind you when Doug Stanhope is in town.
Tyler, they had mineral water there, too.
I will
dude,
say.
That guy's one of the funniest human beings.
Now, would your tickets to your show carry over to Doug Stanhope?
No. They had to clear the room, and then they would let all the Doug Stanhope ticket buyers in. It's cool, though. As a comic, I get to sit around and watch all that for free. That's the perks of the job. He had one of the best openings I've ever seen from any comic ever. He comes out, you know, he does this typical Stanhope kind of thing, and he's kind of slow, and he's like, "Man, I'm glad that I can be here because I know you guys. It's a depressing time for the city. It's been difficult, and you know, you guys are dealing with a lot, the tragedy, and I don't know how you guys have managed to pull together." After all, I mean, it's just amazing. I can't believe you guys actually survived it. 29-7. Oh, dude. It was the best. And he did it way better than that. Like, he set it up so beautifully that you're just like, oh, he's going to talk about Harvey. He's going
right.
Oh, my God. And the left turn, that surprise at the end when he mentioned the Jacksonville score. The place, I was like, there's no way he's going to top his opening joke. The place went nuts. He got a
and they
an
got it.
Break.
They figured it out pretty quickly.
Oh, right. That's away. Good. Applause break. He murdered it. It was fantastic. So yeah, you screwed up not going, by the way. But yeah, so that was had a lime thrown at
he
me.
He didn't know about
yeah,
it.
If I would have known.
Well, if you're a Doug Stanhope fan, you probably would have.
I mean, I am. I follow the guy on Twitter.
Well,
but
I bet he tweeted
like
about
no
it.
No mention of it.
Oh, he didn't mention that he's in Houston, Texas.
I mean, maybe
Texas.
I probably
I was gonna say,
missed
so,
it.
So he didn't mention that he hadn't been here in 2 years.
Kind of like you missed the fourth quarter last night?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I would assume that half of Houston probably did.
Because you're a master sleeper.
Yeah.
We got that figured out.
Yeah.
All right. So,
so that was my night.
Okay.
Fun times.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've got one that, you know, and I'll get into, but forget the night and trying to get back to sleep. Then I got more fun and games this morning because the dog antics continued with my dog whisperer wife.
Oh?
Oh, yeah.
What happened?
I got another call. You know, since they moved the station over by U of H, she's finding that there's a lot more stray dogs on the street. Yesterday, I had to coax her into getting back in her car, in her work clothes, to not chase after a dog that she was trying to catch in traffic to rescue and save that dog. And she said she would come back today to look for it because it looked like it needed help. In the process of going to look for that dog, she let her mom know because she knew she probably shouldn't let me know right away. And she goes, oh, mom didn't tell you when she normally checks in with me between her cut-ins. Oh, well, so there was this pit bull and it was tied up at a construction site. So I talked to the guys that were the construction workers and they said you should just take it. So I did.
What?
you did what?
Wow.
She goes, yeah. So I took it to the vet. I go, what's that bill going to cost? Like $100. I'm like, what are we doing? I go, we're not taking another dog home. No, I think I'm going to pay to have it kenneled for the weekend, and then we'll find it home. I'm like, okay, Dog Whisperer, how many can we do?
Dude, this is becoming like a crack habit for her.
Exactly.
Like, you've really got to put your foot down, Joel.
Like, and I have it. I'm not here to tell
you how to run your marriage, but you're really going to have to put your foot down and flex your man muscles and be like, that's it.
So
no
she knows
more.
Not to bring the dog home, but I'm like, okay, honey, well, we can't be paying for kenneling for these dogs and
can't
shots
save the
and
world.
All these other things. Right. There's going to be these things that are happening. She goes, no, we'll find a home for this dog. I already know some people. I'm like, okay. And then she's working with our vet. Our vet is working with her, but they love it because they can go,
oh,
sure, bring another dog in. And by
Hell
the way,
yeah.
here's the bill for this one.
Hell yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Do we want to do this real quick or do you want to wait on the call? All right, we'll get Mr. Irrigation on the other side. He's got an answer, I think, for your sprinkler dilemma.
We'll bring him in.
He can tell you how to prevent the dogs from biting.
That would be
maybe.
Great. All right, so get if you guys want to be like Mr. Irrigation and join the show, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. You can call, you can text that number, or you can reach us on Twitter at Producer T Scott, at Barry is Funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We're the usual suspects, back with a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere. ESPN 97.5. Right now, I want to tell you about the good old people at Cars for Kids, because I'm telling you right now, there are a lot of kids in the Houston area that are struggling to get that second chance for an education, and they are getting resources that they need thanks to Houston Cans Cars for Kids. It's a great program. It's because you, the people of Houston, you make donations. Those donations are turned into resources that can help kids. Right now, we all know that the devastation that Hurricane Harvey has brought to this fine city. Well, as you're cleaning up and you're going through the insurance process, a lot of times the insurance company says, hey, regardless of what we're going to do and pay for your car, just get rid of it. Well, all you got to do is donate it to the Houston Cans Cars for Kids program, working or not, and they'll turn it into resources to help kids in H-Town. Whether it's a motorcycle, a boat, an RV, a truck, trailer, or car, working or not, you call Cars for Kids, you tell them what you got, you tell them where you live, they come pick it up, they give you a tax deduction, they give you a $50 gift card for mentioning ESPN 97.5, and then the process really begins because they turn that donation into resources for kids. Could be book money, could be bus fare, could be eyeglasses, could be anything and everything that they need, even like warm meals, so that they can focus on their studies, and it's all taken care of by this great program. So please call 713-225-4226 or log on to HoustonCarsForKids.com. That's 713-225-4226 or HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid.
This is Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.
My mama calls, see you on TV. Sunset done changed ever since we was on. I dreamed it all ever since I was young. They said I won't be nothing. Now they always say congratulations.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, segment number two, right here for you on The Usual Suspects. It's Tyler in for Nick, Barry and myself, as we continue to roll on. Before the break, I was talking about the fact that my dog bit the head off of a sprinkler at 2:30 in the morning, setting off a little bit of an emergency in the Blank household. And Mr. Irrigation wants to get in here. We'll get him in real quick. What's up, man?
Hey, good afternoon. So tell me about the location. Is it in the flower beds, or is it a head that's level with the ground for the turf?
It's right in the middle of the lawn. It was right in the middle of the lawn, level in the grass area.
Okay, is it a head that pops up and shoots a stream, or a head that pops up and shoots a fan?
I'd have to be up late at night to look at that, but I believe that the head pops up and shoots a fan.
It's a fan.
I think.
Okay. Well, what you need to do then, you want to switch that. One of the things I'd recommend is switching the time that you're running it. What are you running it at? 2 a.m. in the morning? That's probably too early anyway. Run your system. How many zones you got?
No idea.
You don't know how many zones you have?
Probably six, maybe?
No.
Huh?
I don't know.
How do you not know how many zones you have?
I'm not you. I don't have a green thumb up my hiney.
How big's your yard? Do you live in a regular standard yard?
Sure.
Okay, so you probably have six zones. Change your programming to come on at about 4:30 or 5 in the morning. You're probably running 10 to 15 minutes a zone. What's happening is the dog is getting awoken at that time. He's running around, and he's just playing with sprinkler heads.
Yep.
So change the time to about 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, and that will eliminate him from messing with those heads at 2 a.m. in the morning.
I'm on it, Mr. Irrigation. I appreciate it, man. I'm on it. When I get home, I'm all over it. Appreciate the love.
You are not changing anything, are you?
It's already been fixed.
I know, but I'm saying you're not going to do what he says.
Sure, I
change.
Am. I'll go look at the system. I know where the system is. I turn it on and off.
Can I tell you
a
better reason why you should change it, and it has nothing to do with your dog biting the sprinkler head? If you water too soon in the morning or too late in the evening, the water doesn't evaporate naturally based off of the sun and the sun exposure.
I got all that.
So you're more susceptible to fungus.
Let me just tell you this. Fungus
See,
or
I know
not.
What I'm doing. You
fungus
know what?
Screw, or not, Johnny screw, Green Thumb.
Screw Randy Lemon. I need my own garden show.
Yeah, Johnny Lime. If they're not throwing them at him, he is Johnny Lime in the garden.
Barry Lime, Randy Lemon,
Barry
whatever.
Lime,
I like
Randy
that.
Randy Lemon. There you go.
I like it.
It's the ungardener instead of the uncola.
What's the other guy? Tom Tynan?
Yeah, Tom
he's
Tynan.
He's a home guy, though. He's Full a home time. Improvement guy. But he's I mean, not a yard, like, lawn guy.
Yard is all-encompassing.
No, Tom Tynan doesn't talk lawns.
Those two guys
Randy
wear
Lemon
tool belts. Him. Barry wears a beekeeper's
Randy
outfit.
Randy Lemon. That's such a great name.
Randy Lemon?
Yeah.
Yeah,
can I just tell you this?
What?
He said the dogs are being awakened by the sprinkler, so that's why you change it. No, let me just tell you something. Well, I'm not changing my wife. The dogs are being awakened by my wife, who's getting up to get ready to do a morning show at 1:45 in the morning, not the sprinkler
Well,
system.
You replace the sprinkler head. Have you thought about replacing the wife, maybe? Getting one
yeah,
that wakes up
say,
a little
I just
later?
Said that, and I'm not like, replacing
wakes up
the
a little
wife.
Late. No? Okay.
So, therefore, there are certain issues that are going to have to be dealt with and just deal with it.
Well, what about replacing the dog?
That's not happening either.
Because if I have a dog that continues to bite sprinkler heads and break them, I'm getting a new dog.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
No?
No, because we all have our okay. favorites. We both have our favorites amongst the dogs. This would be one of her favorites.
Oh, yeah, you're screwed.
Yeah, that ain't going anywhere.
Yep, sucks for you.
It's a she, not a he, but she ain't going anywhere.
Hope you like buying sprinkler heads every couple of months.
My dude that does my lawn... Came
does
over
it for
this morning
free?
And does it for free. He goes, Joel, I had an extra one. And he actually came over. I didn't realize for once, miss, I don't have time to deal with details because I got to do the morning show. Had already texted him. And when I was coming back from coffee this morning, he's like, meet me at the driveway. He goes, oh, Lisa texted me. I got an extra sprinkler head. I'm just going to pop this in real quick. I'm like,
yeah, it's not that hard. I mean,
no, I could have done it. I watched him do it. But he's like, no, Lisa texted me. Got no problem. We had an extra one.
Did he dig around it and replace it?
Yep. Okay. Dug around it. Also put.
See?
Yep.
There's a tool out there if you're listening and you care about this. There's actually a tool that'll remove your sprinkler heads without having to dig around them. I bought one of those.
I bet you did.
And it's a lifesaver. It's
got that,
super
Tyler?
Easy.
Next, when you get your first humble abode, you're going to need a sprinkler digger
right,
around
you
her.
Keep making fun of me. You're going to have to replace all your sprinkler
Isn't
heads.
Isn't that the name of a monster truck?
What?
Sprinkler digger?
No. You know what? No, you stop it right now.
Right about the time you get the sprinkler digger.
Uh-oh.
Diggler.
You guys be careful.
Tyler,
one of you
you're
going to
need
cuss.
The beekeeper's outfit, and you're going to need the big hat that he wears when he gets out there.
Oh, yeah. The, like the...
No.
No, he doesn't have the hat. Peak no. on it. His is just with the real big, wide, floppy lid, like, you know, training camp hats in the NFL.
Yeah.
That's what he wears. With the little string that goes under the chin.
No string. No strings
attached. No
strings attached. Nope.
All righty. How you doing? Hey, so, I want to remind everybody Charlie Pillow's joining us at 1:30.
Yeah. So I'm guessing you watched the game?
I did. I said your show saved you the misery of what the rest of the nation was forced to deal with.
I still have to watch it. I mean, I watched
it. Of course, because you got a job to do.
Yeah.
Well, two of them.
Yeah. It was, what were your thoughts? Okay, let's start easy because I know Palillo's coming and we're going to be up against a break for a minute.
Yeah.
Let's start with the unis. Now, you were not a fan of the Color Rush unis, correct?
Too blue.
I really liked the way that the red and white popped off the navy. I liked it.
So here's my...
It would not hurt my feelings if they went with those full time.
Apparently, the Texans' voice had a little bit of a problem identifying certain players.
Now, that's what I told you guys in the production meeting. This is the same thing that we've dealt with in the NBA when... I'm trying to think of the team. Washington changed their team. I know you liked them, but when the names on the back are in red without that white outline. Now, if the names in the back had the white outline, the letters, yeah, that'd have been great.
Guess
what? But because
what?
They don't jump off the screen, it's harder to identify who they are.
Guess what?
I know you don't care.
No, you're a professional.
Right.
This is your job.
Yeah.
Learn the names and numbers. Oh,
I knew them. I knew them, but I'm saying.
I'm watching the game with my wife
and my mother-in-law, and they're like, who's that?
I'm saying Vandermeer. Like, it's easy to know. You should know what numbers are what. So that you just, that was number four. You know what I mean? Like, you should know that.
To kind of credit him, a lot of these guys weren't on the team last week, or some of these
guys.
So
you had to memorize seven new names?
The practice squad tight end.
You only had 5 days to do that.
Hey, I mean,
let me just explain something to you guys. When you're a professional broadcaster, in the back of your mind, you think you're a professional bitcher, too. And you can bitch better than anybody, and you bitch about everything. Because I can tell you Craig Ackerman's the same way.
Yeah?
Calling a game, he will spend, like when Washington changed their uniforms, they didn't do the white outline and the numbers kind of blended in. He would spend probably a good quarter of the game interjecting how annoyed he was that he couldn't read the numbers on the jerseys. And there you're only dealing with 15 roster guys and probably 8 guys you got to talk about.
I liked them. I did. That was my first thought when I sat down to watch the game. I was like, I really like the unis. I do. My second thought, watching the kickoff and then realizing that Randy Bullock kicking for the Bengals, my very first thought before the game even started, he's going to beat this team. He's going to be the one that kicks the winning field goal.
I mean, this is like his, third team in
He was with the Jets.
Every time I see fat kicker, I'm like,
See, that's my thing. I even explained to Lisa's mom. I'm like, there's the guy that Lisa and I used to make fun of when we went to games about the fact that he was only kicking because it meant he got a free pass to the buffet line in the Texans locker room before, during, and after practice and games. That dude, give him credit. He slimmed down a little, but that dude for a kicker is large.
Yeah. He's a big boy.
I'm just impressed that he can swing that leg from one side to the other.
I for sure thought he was going to be the person that beat the Texans, though, if that was going to happen, because that's usually how it would work, right?
Yeah. Normally in Houston lore, whoever used to play for them is coming back to beat them.
Yeah. What a miserable game, though.
It was hard to watch, brother.
It was the checkdown bowl. It really was. It was just this boring.
If it's possibly more conservative than the already conservative Bill O'Brien play calling, conservative and predictable on third down and ones drove me insane.
Yeah. I mean, at least it's not Kubiak, quarterback draw, running back draw play.
But on third and one, which they had several of and didn't end up making them, can't you just stretch the field a little bit, maybe go off left, off right, not run it right up the center's ass so you can get pinned 6 inches before the first down? Oh, that was annoying.
I will say this, though, and I mean, throughout the show, we're obviously going to break it down. Yep. And I got kind of picky because I had the time to watch it and go back and make notes. But all of that said, this team went on the road as a 5.5-point dog, down several starters, and won.
Yeah.
And they beat another NFL team, which isn't easy to do on the road. So you have to, as ugly as it was and as bad as you still may think this team is, good for them for going on the road and getting a win.
I said to Tyler in the production meeting, I said, you know what? That's still a hell of a win based on how many guys were hurt, the short turnaround time, a rookie quarterback on short turnaround time, and they beat another NFL team. Now, that other NFL team seems to think you're the worst team in the NFL, but that doesn't matter. The fact that you're 1-1 instead of 0-2, that's a big thing. They should hang their hat on that. I totally agree with that. All right, Charlie Pulillo joins us next. He, as he always does, Mondays and Fridays from 1:30 to 2. So Charlie will be in to discuss Texans with us, maybe a little Astros as well, and we'll continue to roll on. Don't go anywhere. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry, Tyler, Joel, and of course, Monday or Friday, it means the person of interest, Charlie Polillo, joining us right now, fresh off of a stint on 1560 AM, soon to be SportsMap 94.1 FM.
We'll really be neighbors.
Yes, we will.
You've never done sports on FM before, have you, Charlie?
Have not.
Other than coming on here,
I'm
going
to get to sound like a DJ.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Are you the kind of guy like I used to hate the sound of my voice. Have you gotten used to that? Do you listen? I know now you've been doing this long enough. You don't have to go back. Okay. I didn't want to say it, but yeah. But you don't have to go back and listen to shows anymore. You're polished. You know what I mean? You've been doing this.
Or as polished as I'm
going to get.
Going to kind of sort of get.
When you started, did you listen to yourself and hate your voice?
My story on that, never really hated my voice, but going back to my days in school as an acorn, hoping to become, if not an oak, at least a decent,
a nut?
Modest little shrub.
Okay.
In the orange landscape of Syracuse Broadcast Products, and many know, you may not. But one of my best friends in life, my roommate my last year up there, was a fellow named Mike Tirico, who never amounted to anything. But anyway, great guy. And we were
I've never heard of him.
And we advanced in the pipeline there. 2 years ahead of us, he was sort of on the periphery of what we did with the radio station. But a guy named Dave O'Brien, who's called all kinds of ESPN games. He's the television voice of the Red Sox now. And O'Brien, in college, had this deep, booming, resonating voice. It wasn't quite intimidating, but we were all there like, we grew up, we hope you have a voice like Dave O'Brien. You know, that we felt like, and I've always been, vertically challenged. So it's like, I know I've gone through puberty, but I'm feeling like with this guy's voice that I'm 9 years old again.
Yeah.
So if you were ever on the air with him, you'd be... Use your diaphragm.
He's no Gene Peterson, but...
But that would be... Dave O'Brien would be, hi, Charlie, how you doing? You know, I'd sum it up all I could. Hi, Dave, thanks for asking.
Speaking of nuts, you were hoping when they descended that you might get to the Dave O'Brien level.
Oh.
You know.
That would be floor-hitting Sam Cassell caliber dropping.
Joe Boo in Major League.
So I don't know if when he was in preschool, it's like, can we play with blocks now? But Dave had the fully matured voice at a very young age.
So did you hate your voice?
No, I didn't hate it, but a whole bunch of us, Mike included, are like, geez, this O'Brien, what pipes he has.
Yeah. Yeah. But do you listen, do you make it a point to listen and go back and listen to your tapes, and listen to shows and kind of regurgitate, evaluate?
Only because of megalomania. No, I really don't do air checks. It still wouldn't be a bad thing to do to this day, but I guess old enough dog, I'm not going to learn new things.
Where Barry's coming from, I hate my voice. I do. I've always hated it. And so it's hard. I hate listening to it, even on when I used to do
that. You're not alone.
Thank you. The voice.
No, I meant that plenty of people hate their voices.
Yeah.
There are people who won't call into a show because, oh, I think I sound terrible. It's like, well, you probably talk on the phone every day of your life.
Right. Well, you know,
what do you hate about your voice?
I think it should be bassier. I don't think it's at the level it should be bass wise for a broadcaster. And the funny thing is I don't know if we've talked about this before, but I know guys that flip the switch. Like they're talking
on radio.
Yeah, like when you're talking on, and you remember him, but Ken Double was a guy that did the Arrows games. Okay. And Ken Double couldn't turn it off. So he'd leave me a voicemail, and it sounded like he was calling the second period of the Arrows Championship Series. And I'm just like,
seriously, Joel, man? This is Ken. Would you like to come to the game tonight?
People wanted me to save the voicemails because he'd be like, Ken Double here, Joel. I'd like to meet for coffee if you were available. And I'm like, no, I can't do that. But yeah, there are certain people that can't turn the switch off.
Well, suddenly I was kind of hoping insecure about my voice.
I was kind of hoping you would ask me what I hated about his voice, Charlie. You didn't ask me.
Which would be
you asked
what?
Him everything.
Mm-hmm. That's why Barry. That's why on Twitter, Barry is
the
funny.
Subtle femininity or something like that.
No,
you just blanket everything.
I don't like my voice either, but you know what? I got used to it when I first started because I wasn't like you guys and have this illustrious career in broadcasting and getting, going to Syracuse, which would be what, broadcaster you?
Yes, I guess. On a stage live in front of a bunch of people.
No, but I started by winning Rock the Mic. That's how I got my break in radio. And I only found out about it that week. So I had to go back and listen to my voice. And the same thing in comedy. I have to go back and listen to my sets. And I've gotten used to it, but I hate the way it sounds. I think that's most people, though.
Get over it.
Now, would you, because I don't know if he did or he didn't, Spiro Dedis. I don't know if he's a Syracuse guy, too.
He's not.
Okay. Spiro Dedis, who does, he's been the voice of the Knicks, the Lakers. He does pro football on CBS. But when he does games, because it's such a deal to him about his lack of bass and whatever, he travels with his own voice equalizer and bass to add.
I did not know that.
There's an interesting tidbit. But like Craig and I would talk about it going.
Auto-tune.
Yeah, exactly. I was just going to say. So now they have auto-tune for broadcasters. I could never go that far. You either take it or leave it, but I'm not going to go to that level. That's just a bit excessive.
I need to come up with that. I need to, like, that way I can give Nick or whoever's producing be like, hey, this is where I need my bass level.
Yeah.
This is where I need my treble. I like that. I like that.
That's the kind of thing that I was like, Craig and I were both like, you know, because you go to the visiting team and you walk in the arena and you meet the visiting team engineer and you basically just, you kind of just say, hey, this is my format, whatever. No, he came with his own electronics and goes, hey, by the way, here's all my stuff. I'm going to need you to hook this up so I can equalize and do the things I need to do for my voice during the game. And he's like, really?
Bob Costas, another short Syracuse guy. There are lots of us.
Yep.
While in school, I forget whether it was a minor league hockey job or it may have been the St. Louis Spirits of the old ABA.
Which he did with Snapper Jones.
And he applied back at that time. It was a cassette tape.
Mm-hmm.
You can explain to the younger members of the audience at some point. And I know Costas tells the story that he was young, and I doubt he sounded like this. But he wasn't stentorian Bob Costas yet. And so he kept redubbing his cassette, and each time he dubbed it, he'd crank the bass all the way up, all the way.
Yeah.
So he figured by after 4 or 5, maybe he'd sound like he was older than 12.
Like Barry White.
Too bad it didn't work out for him either.
Who's your top three from Syracuse all time, broadcasters?
I guess in terms of full body of work, Marv.
I was going to say Marv, yeah.
Costas. And I'm good with Mike in the top three now, especially as the successor to both Costas and Al Michaels.
Yep.
I mean, Marty Glickman really helped invent sportscasting, and that's a lot more backstory. But he is sort of the foundation of the whole operation going back to the 30s and 40s. But I'd probably go those as the top three. I mean, Sean McDonough, I think, has always
been solid.
Always been.
How the hell did Syracuse
no better all around play-by-play?
How did this place end up as this mecca of broadcasting? Is it just something that evolved? Was this? Did they mean to do this? I mean, it's just weird that that's
Dick Stockton, another one.
Yeah, another good
long
one.
Legendary.
How did this come about?
I think after a while it feeds on itself.
Yeah,
Penn State became linebacker. You get a few talent to draw his talent. And,
okay,
and I know when I was maybe junior in high school, there was a one pager in Sports Illustrated on the guy who was the sports director of WAER, is the university owned station at the time. It was all student run, and it was talking about this guy Greg Papa, and he was going straight from school to being the radio voice of the Indiana Pacers, and so that I think probably furthered the magnet of it. And then it's its own reputation.
Yeah.
And you can't honestly, accurately say it's the best school in the country, but the alumni list, the legacy, the reputation, there's no way it's behind anybody else.
Speaks for itself.
I'm shocked Meltzer wasn't at least number three on your list.
Seltzer? I like Seltzer.
Okay. All right.
To the limited extent I know Mike. He sent me
great
a tape
guy.
Way back when.
Yeah. All right, so we've got plenty more to get to with Charlie. We'll get into the little bit of the color rush offense that was the Houston Texans last night. Break some of that down. And if you have questions or you want to get in on the conversation, please do 713-780-3776. Back with Charlie and Barry and a whole lot more. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Tyler Scott in for Nick. Charlie Palillo in for his regular segment. 1:30 to 2 right here on The Usual Suspects as we continue to move through. By the way, Charlie, 1560 a.m. from 11 to 1. But soon, as in October 1st-ish, 94.1
Sports Map.
That's right. Your one-stop shop for FM sports information and more.
No reason to go back to AM. There really isn't.
Boy, you catch on quick.
There's us at 97.5. There's Sports Map Radio at 94.1. There's no reason to go be an old man and listen to AM sports talk anymore.
So we're going to have a radio garage sale. This becomes vintage in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Anything with
we should.
Old logos on it?
We should.
Yeah, the 1560 stuff's going to be hot collector's item before it becomes hot garbage.
Is it?
I don't know.
Some transitions are quicker than others.
Yes.
Yeah, it's true. I'm sure there's some
don't hurt as
somewhere
much.
Somewhere there's some double rods that need to be.
Some don't hurt as much. Oh, so there's still cars floating around with the double rod sticker on
the back of them.
I've
actually seen them. Scarily enough, I've seen them.
Either of you guys bet under 25 last night?
I would have.
We both did on the air. If we were bettors, we said take the under. We were not bettors enough to do so. But
I
that was
check.
Like.
Was it as low as 35, 37?
It was 38.
38.
Yeah, it was 38. And I think he had it under 25. Tyler had it 14 to 10 Bengals. Joel had 17-13 Bengals. I had 17-10 Texans. What are your thoughts? I mean, just initially.
It was as expected. Two brutally inept offenses. Deshaun Watson made one play with his legs. I wonder if Tom Savage's agent under. Now I get it why they benched my guy. I don't expect them to come out and say, yeah, I know my client can't play and represents no hope for the future. But come on. You sound like such a toady and just silly. Watson's going to make his mistakes. He got away with a couple of balls that probably should have been intercepted last night. You know what? That's fine. He's going to go through his rookie's worth of his year's worth of rookie mistakes. But there are going to be flashes of brilliance. Single-handedly almost saved their bacon with that one play before the half because in the second half they basically did nothing until a drive for an insurance field goal.
Right.
When you knew the Bengals, unless there was a big breakdown, they were not going to drive for a touchdown. So it was horrible football. It was a terrible primetime game, but the Texans' season is salvaged. I don't think they can score 13 points and beat the Patriots.
Well, no, but to your point about Watson and Savage, that play right there is the summary of why Watson is the quarterback, because Tom Savage doesn't make that play. At best, he scrambles, maybe gets tackled for no gain. That's the difference between the two, and with the line as bad as it is, that's why you need Deshaun Watson in the game, because you can turn something so bad as a broken play or a line that can't protect into a touchdown.
I mean, they're playing a guard and a tackle as their two tight ends. Obviously, the guy that promoted from the practice squad, Bayless, they didn't think very, very much of.
He was good for a penalty.
What do you think the tenor of the conversation is in Cincinnati? The Reds.
Well, so I was going
to
say
the Reds are garbage. The Bengals apparently are garbage, and they don't have NBA or NHL to look forward
to. And by the way, the Bengals players after the game said we just lost to the worst team in the NFL. Then what does that make you? Because of the fact that you looked that bad, and at least you had a guy that was quote unquote proven at quarterback. You've got your own candidate for best receiver in the NFL. That's a stud player who was also very perturbed. He didn't get the ball enough. But I was saying this before you came on with us. Look, my biggest problem with the whole thing is I understand conservative play calling, but how many third and ones are you going to run it up the center's rear end instead of at least trying to spread it out a little bit, go off tackle, do something to where at least you got a shot to get the first down? They brought conservative play calling to a new level, and I get it with the protection. But, man, I mean, that was tough for me to watch.
You know, the problem is, I think, for me, is it was a numbers game, and they were still getting beat. You know what I mean? They would have 6-7 offensive linemen in there. The Bengals would be just basically a 4-man front, and they were still getting beat. They still were getting pressure when it was 4-on-6. That makes no sense to me.
If your six aren't good, or most of them aren't good, right, the two tight ends – and Davenport's out of Bucknell, so he's a developmental prospect. They like his athleticism, but he was a fourth rounder who's not supposed to ever be on the field. Kyle Fuller was not active for the opener. And then you have the five guys who did play. Last night, if I'm the Texans, I'm still not caving. But last night was perfect for Duane Brown. They looked absolutely inept.
Inept, yep.
As a blocking unit, but they won the game. So when Duane Brown comes back in, might be as late as week 8. Which is the latest he can come and still get credit for a service year. Otherwise, his contract rolls over and they still have 2 years control on him. But if Brown's thinking, well, when I get back in, we can pull this together. Doesn't matter if you come back and you're 2-6. I mean, if they lost that game last night, they're going to go lose at New England and be 0-3, and then you come home against the Titans, you lose that. I mean, it is over. So I don't think last night portends glory or that they've turned a corner, but at least they averted outright disaster. It's more than Cincinnati can say.
Go ahead. Just before we let you go, though, overall on Watson, because of the fact I heard Bill Polian this morning basically killing him to the standpoint of saying, look, he did everything that at least a guy in his position should be able to do. Get him out of the huddle. Get the play called. No, he can look at the defense. And then he showed he can run. But other than that, he didn't do anything. I give him more credit than that. But this is going to be such a process that even with New England's defense looking bad, I really do still fear and worry for him going into a game like that looking like he did last night.
Well, they have Seattle and Baltimore and Pittsburgh. They're going to face better defenses. But for the first time out, yeah, he threw for only 125 yards and probably should have had two passes intercepted, but he did not. So in the end, zero turnovers, and he made the play that won the game. I don't think anyone should be thinking, boy, I wish I had Mitchell Trubisky or Patrick Mahomes instead today, or they took the wrong guy and Deshaun Watson. Oh, no. And their passing game, by necessity, along with the fact that Watson has so much to learn, it's throw it to DeAndre Hopkins or I mean, that's it, right? It's check it down to the back. They literally have no NFL tight end on the field other than the few snaps that Bayless played. And beyond Hopkins, Braxton Miller did catch A-ball.
Right.
Jalen Strong came off the suspended list. Apparently, he's still Jalen Strong, which is not a positive.
But does it not bother either one of you guys that you just gave your best receiver all this money and it looks like he literally has to push off to get free?
Yeah, but he does. He's not fast or quick. His game is his physicality and making plays on balls in the air. When he's your only remote threat in the passing game, defenses are going to better
account for that. His hands seem to be getting worse, though. I mean, he had the bobbled ball, which would have been a first down in the fourth quarter that there's a lot of my bads going on with him. There's a lot of my bads, and you can't have that because he's got to be the one guy that bails out the rookie.
He does have to adapt because they've called him now in each of these games, and as the reputation grows that he's blatantly pushing off, you can't act like, oh, I'm getting screwed by the officials. No, you're doing it, and they happen to be calling.
Right, but the thing is, to your point and your point,
Michael Irvin,
look,
they virtually never called it.
And he's not elusively fast, right, either one of those things, but he's always been known for his hands, and now those are starting to get a little iffy. But he's paid like the best receiver in football.
And he's in the second cut. He's really good. You can't have the productivity that he had 2 years ago with the quarterbacks who were throwing him the ball. But he's not with the Julio Joneses and Antonio Browns. A.J. Green, I mean, he's a better overall receiver because he has the speed and three defensive backs with him in the play, and he just went up and out-leaped all of them. But, I mean, Hopkins is the only thing that you'd say among the players who touch the ball, pending what Watson develops into, that you're feeling, all right, there's a chance of something good happening. Though I'm all for a little more Deontay Foreman.
I was just going to say, I love
the ratio
Foreman.
Of Foreman versus Miller. Foreman just runs hard and gets it up in there.
Gets those extra yards.
Yeah, you're going to need a guy that can kind of pound the rock a little, especially, I mean, when you look in the fourth quarter, there were two different instances where you saw seven guys on the line of scrimmage on a third and short or, you know, a short play. And they lost yardage. So you need a guy that can at least not get just hammered and blown up at the point of attack because you're not going to get great blocking from this team as is. I think Foreman at least can get in there and pound the rock a little, move a yard or two. Miller's not that guy.
Makes Lamar Miller look worthy of all that money.
Yeah. Hey, 1560, we were given an illegal internet link to go after if we want. Is there like a big ESPN 97.5 watch party for the fight tomorrow night?
You need to call the guy that's
sitting. Can I crash?
Get to Patrick Creighton, who normally has the inside scoops on anywhere and everywhere for anything related to those kind of things. He'll get you in somewhere.
You're that big into the fight? You're a boxing guy, huh?
Yeah.
Not an MMA guy? Okay. Who you got?
Who you got?
Lukewarmly Triple G. I'd go strongly Triple G if this fight were 3 years ago, but it's not.
Isn't that the history of boxing lately? Someone passed their
Mayweather
prime.
Mayweather waited Pacquiao out for 5 years.
No question. Well, we appreciate it, my friend. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again on Monday where we can regurgitate college and pro football and the fight. But
and we'll have an American League West Division Championship to talk about.
Should. Oh, boy.
But will you have the best record in the American League ever before the end of the season?
Not if the Indians intend to never, ever lose again. That was fantastic last night. Not for the Astros, but that was good stuff.
Admittedly, I watched it. You're right. All right, so that's Charlie Polillo. Catch him 11-1 Monday through Friday on 1560 AM until October 1st when he goes to SportsMat 94.1 FM. But we got a whole lot more in 2 more hours of the big show. Don't go anywhere. Usual Suspects back with more here on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.